to the Races, powered by The Racing Biz, your independent voice for racing and breeding in the Mid-Atlantic. On the web at theracingbiz.com. On the radio, on ESPN Richmond, it's Off to the Races. Here's Nick Hahn.
What do you say now? I say it's Belmont Stakes weekend. And the Belmont Stakes run today at Belmont Park. Thanks for spending your Saturday mornings with us. We have a real American gem. A little bit Canadian mixed in there too. But Ron Turcotte will join us in about 15 minutes. He may not have a lot to say about Secretariat though. As the opening suggested, the call of the 1972 Belmont Stakes provides a clue about who he really wants to talk about today. We'll talk to Ronnie Turcotte in about 10 minutes here on Off to the Races. Just ahead, we'll have Dave Zenner, big racing commission meeting this week. One of the items approved is the carryover pick five that Colonial Downs will offer. We're 30 days away. It's June 11th today, July 11th. It's opening day at Colonial Downs. And they'll introduce the pick five carryover with only a 12% takeout. You can play for as little as 50 cents. I have a feeling that's going to be very popular at Colonial Downs this summer. They did get approval of the sale, the acquisition of ownership interest, as it was referred to in the Virginia Racing Commission meeting. We'll talk a little bit about that on Off to the Race. Frank Vespi is living the dream, and so is Graham Motion, who has three horses today, starting today at Belmont Park, including in the Manhattan Highland Chief, who may not be getting a whole lot of respect. That's the race just prior to the Belmont Stakes. And, of course, Derby Bill Watson will be back this week. He's back off the vets list, and he'll join us in the last half of the show. We'll go horse by horse, and if we got anything left over, we'll talk about some of these other great stakes races on Belmont Park's Belmont Stakes card. Let's maybe start with yesterday. I mean, the short fields in many of the stakes races, I'll have a little bit of a handicapping angle, I think. This might be kind of key to how you look at the races throughout the whole Belmont Stakes card today. But yesterday, one of the short fields was in the True North, which was the ninth race on the card. The big, big favorite in the race was Jackie's Warrior, Mr. Phil, Baby Yoda. There were a couple other horses there, but, man, there was just no match for the winner of the True North. John Embriel has the call of Jackie's Warrior's win.
Jackie's Warrior in front now by 2.5 lengths. Sound Money runs in second. Mr. Phil down towards the rail. Then Baby Yoda and War Toxin, the half and 45 and 2/5 seconds. And it is Jackie's Warrior, and he's pouring it on here in the stretch. Jackie's Warrior with a 7-length lead. This is the Grade 2 True North, but it's a Grade 1 performance again by Jackie's Warrior. He won by 5, and the final time, 1 minute, 15 seconds.
Just a half second off the track record, but I think he could have actually broke it yesterday. John Embriel, looking for words, as there was dull air. Jackie's Warrior, so much the best in the True North, just shy of $2.5 million. Joel Rosario, the winning jockey there, and Steve Asmussen, the winning trainer, 11 for 15 lifetime. He does have 4 grade ones, and so congratulations to those connections, Kirk and Judy Robinson. Robison, I should say, are the owners there. Just a very impressive performance. Loft actually set a track record earlier in the day, too. So, just some great performances yesterday, and we're looking for a few more of those today. Joining us now on Off to the Races to maybe share a little bit about the Belmont Stakes and the upcoming meet at Colonial Downs is the Director of Simulcast and Racing Operations for Colonial Downs, Dave Zenner. The Belmont Stakes at 6:44 today. NBC coverage at 5. CNBC has coverage between 3 and 5. And, of course, Fox Sports 2 picks it up at just 11 a.m. early post time today at Belmont Park. 11:20 is the first race post time, so shortly after we get off the air. But, Dave, it's 8-horse field in the Belmont Stakes today. And a lot of people may be a little controversial, or not controversial, but don't like the short fields. But I'm telling you, I think today there might be some money made in those place and show pools today. That's where I'm going to target some of my wagering interests. Dave, good morning. What are your thoughts today on the Belmont Stakes?
Well, going back to what you said about the short fields, they're short fields, but they're fantastic races. There's compelling storylines in all of those races. You can make money playing, horizontal wagers. You can make money playing vertical wagers if you can get the other logical horse out of a race. Even if you like the chalk, if you can get the other logical horse to miss the board, you might be able to make some money. So, yeah, you'd like to see bigger fields in those races. But as someone else said, you want to see three, horses that had no shot in the race in there just to fill out the field. And, I'm not so sure that that's the way to go. Let's talk Belmont really quickly. Obviously, we have a rooting interest at Colonial S. Barber Road, who made his first start there. I think it's a tall task, but, we would certainly welcome seeing that. The way I look at the Belmont is I think of the horse as a little bit of a dark horse, perhaps, is Creative Minister for Kenny McPeak, coming off of a third in the Preakness. Does have a two-turn win going back for that. Kenny McPeak knows how to get him ready for a race like this. And, if you can get away from the favorites there, I think that might be a horse maybe not to win, but maybe to throw on your tickets.
Yeah, mentioning the Belmont Stakes, I mean, maybe we can talk a little bit about the morning line. We the People, 2-1. I saw him at 9-1 yesterday, 6-1 this morning. Kind of moving all over the place here. We got Skippy Longstocking 11-1, Nest 7-2, who was 8-1 in the morning line. Barber Road, as you mentioned, 10-1 in the morning line, 8-1. Mo Donegal, the current favorite, at 2-1. So a little money into the pool. It's only a fraction of what eventually will be bet. But We the People, kind of surprising morning line choice.
1% is in there. Yeah, probably less than 1% is in there. I don't put a whole lot of stock in the advanced wagering, even on Derby Day, where you do have a significant advanced wager. Usually settles down pretty quickly when the pools open, on race day. So I think we'll see that those settle down in the next hour or two. We're very excited, at Colonial to see Barbarossa, what that horse can do. And, of course, our barnyard opens in 16 days. Let's put it this way. When I get off the phone with you, it's right back to work.
The 12% takeout, we talked about it a little bit on the pick five, but the last five races on every card, every race at Colonial Downs on TVG this year. Maybe just a quick mention about this wonderful pick five.
Yeah, let's talk about the pick five. We lowered the takeout rate to 12%, and we also changed the way the wager is structured. It's a carryover pool now, not a jackpot carryover pool. We're not looking for a jackpot wager, just a regular carryover pool. In the three previous seasons since Colonial reopened, it was a straight pick five wager. If nobody had five, the entire net pool was paid out to those who had four. This year, if nobody has five on a given day, we'll pay out 25% to those who had four, carry the balance over. And that's going to create some excellent wagering opportunities when a carryover pool is there. I went back and looked. I mentioned this to you when I saw you the other day. I went back and looked at the previous 3 years, and six times in the 40 days of racing over the previous 3 years, it was not hit. And the average carryover pool, calculating out, would have been about 60,000. And a rule of thumb is generally that you're going to get about five times the carryover pool wagered. So you're looking at a $300,000 new money pool the following day. And, that just creates a lot of buzz about the card. People who might not be looking at Colonial will look at Colonial that day. People who are looking at Colonial that day will look a little deeper into Colonial that day. It has a residual effect on the pick four and the pick three that follow the pick five, because like so many of us, I tend to get knocked out. Now I can't bet anymore, but I tend to get knocked out that first leg, and then of course you're diving right back into you know, trying to nail the pick four that closes out the card. So, you know, that's really exciting. Hopefully we'll see a carryover pool or two during the 27-day meet that starts 30 days from now on July 11th.
Yeah, we can't wait for it. Dave, great talking to you this morning. Going to move on to Ron Turcotte here, but we look forward to talking to you in the weeks leading up to the meet here after the Triple Crown.
We'll talk to you soon.
Great. Dave Zenner joining us on Off to the Races this morning. And weather today for the race looks like to be ideal. I did see it was maybe cloudy, but 0% chance of rain with temperatures in the mid-70s for the mile and a half at Belmont Park today out on Long Island. So really looking forward to this wonderful card here. And we're talking about some of the past winners of the race here recently. We the People got a lot of attention early on with his pace. He's basically the lone speed, which is very dangerous, especially in this race. And We the People running on the front end. Justify won the Triple Crown on the front end. American Pharoah did. So did Secretariat, and so did Riva Ridge. And now on Off to the Races, I want to bring on the jockey. He's little known for Secretariat, but today I'm sure he wants to talk about Riva Ridge. It's been 50 years since Riva Ridge won the Belmont Stakes, and Ron Turcotte joins us now on Off to the Races this morning. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning, Nick.
Thanks for spending some time with us this morning.
About Riva Ridge. It was my first love.
You're saying Riva Ridge is your first love, and just unfortunately kind of for Riva Ridge, just in the shadow that you were part casting with Secretariat, he gets lost. But I took the time between the time we spoke earlier in the week to now to go back and look at the Belmont Stakes and to look at the Kentucky Derby. And Riva Ridge was, I mean, when your famous scene winning by 30 lengths and looking back at, you know, just to see at the timer and all that curiosity that got you then, that was set up by Riva Ridge, because that win in the Belmont Stakes, I mean, it was whatever it was, 5-7 lengths, it could have been 10. That horse was very comfortable going under the wire. Tell us your memories of that Belmont Stakes in 1972.
That was a very easy race for us. We had some nice horses there, but I broke real good, and I went to the lead. Nobody challenged me the first part. Then when he came to me, Kid to the Mint, I let him go for a little bit. And then when we finally jumped about 5-16 pole, I just chirped to him, and you went on from there.
I mean, very impressive. Just very similar to the way he won the Kentucky Derby. I mean, that was a race he won on the front end as well.
Yeah, that what was did Riva Ridge, that was not my intention. I had the bleachers. I cut the bleachers early in the morning, that same morning, for the Derby, because I was afraid that everybody was going to try to stay with me, and I might fall on the lead, and I didn't want him to wait for horses, because in the bluegrass, he kind of hesitated after he made the lead with the big crowd.
Now, Riva Ridge was ran in 1972, and you wrote an excellent piece. It's on secretariat.com. Wrote it several years ago, but you talked about what this horse, you know, everybody loves Secretariat. Riva Ridge doesn't enjoy near the following, but this horse really meant a lot, and really was, they say it was Secretariat in the movie, but it was Riva Ridge that saved the meadow. You know, tell
you
us a little
right.
bit about what that horse meant. Yeah, what did Riva Ridge mean to the meadow?
Well, he was everything to the Meadows. I mean, he stayed in the Meadows so we could keep Secretariat thereafter. You know, he won over half a million at that time. That was huge money. The only horse that won more money as a two-year-old was Buck Passer, and that was only a couple thousand more. So he was champion two-year-old. Once I started riding him there, he never did anything wrong. I mean, I reschooled him, but after that, he won everything, all the big races as a two-year-old.
The year Secretariat became Horse of the Year and winning the Triple Crown, Riva Ridge was the champion older horse in 1973. The Meadow had both. And you played a big role in sort of retraining this horse, which is kind of unique for a jockey to be, you know, such an active participant. Talking to Lucian Lauren, you know, what was that conversation like in terms of, let's take a step back, let's do something a little bit different with that horse? That usually is not the way communication flows between the jockey and the trainer, but it worked really well for you and Lucian.
Yes, the jockey is not supposed to have a say in there. He's supposed to keep his mouth shut, just ride the horse. But I think that we have a lot to do with all horses that's running. Nowadays, I don't know. What I mean, when I was riding.
Yeah. How are things with you these days? You joined us on Belmont Stakes Day last year. You know, you're just such a gem and an icon, and most people that don't even can name a jockey, they know your name from Secretariat and really should know more of your name even from Riva Ridge, as we've emphasized so much here in this segment.
How are you? Nate, they could have mentioned that Shuvi, the richest mare in the world at the time I was riding her.
Shuvi as well is one of the horses. But how are you doing? How's life?
How's what?
How's life for you right now?
Oh, good.
Okay,
I live
great.
Here. It's in the country, in New Brunswick. And the weather's beautiful right now. We had a lot of rain earlier, but today's nice.
Great. That's just great to hear. The Belmont Stakes being run today, 8-horse field. You know, we the people have got a lot of morning line love, if you will, just because of his style. Seemed to be a lone speed in the race. And, you know, what are some of the tricks of you know, how dangerous can lone speed be in the Belmont Stakes? And what are some
right
of the tricks
now
of riding at
number
Belmont?
One, post number one, and that's a favorable post for Belmont. Well, for any race run at a mile and a half. And I always thought that Belmont was the easiest race of them all. Cast counting the Derby and Preakness, and
why do you think it's the easiest race?
But the horse that won the Derby there, he's got a long stride, and if he sits in a favorable position there, I think he'll win.
Oh, okay. So you kind of like Rich Strike here, the horse that won the Derby, coming off the pace, perhaps, and we the people not being to run back to his Peter Pan win.
It all depends if he's choking him to keep him back there. If the horse is running from behind on his own, that's one thing. But if he has to choke him to keep him there, that won't work. That's what was happening before. You know, you had a long spell between 1948 and 1973 for a Triple Crown. And I think I saw a lot of races there where they were choking their horse because they were going a mile and a half.
Yeah, trying to save them best for last. Does the geometry of the track fool people because it's such a big track? A lot of people in the past, a lot of the failed Triple Crown attempts, they made their move too early. There was a lot of criticism of jockeys for that.
Some of them made a move early, but I think if you look back, it just was a fraction. Look at all the fractions for the first three-quarters of a mile. He had some races was running 14, the first three quarters of 16, stuff like that. I told Roger Lauren that if he saw 112 on the board for the first half mile, that if he had tickets on him, he better turn around and go cash them. That's how sure I was of winning the Belmont.
Get in line early, even before the race is over, to cash your tickets.
Yes. Yeah, that's the two Belmont I won. They were won very easy, and I was very positive before the race because they had worked good for the race, and the track was. A good track for River Ridge, and had he been able to handle mud, he would have been a Triple Crown winner also.
Talking about River Ridge and the Preakness there, where River Ridge finished fourth on a sloppy track, that would have given you back-to-back Triple Crown winners. That's not a bad racing resume, is it?
Well, I had the horse for it, but... You can't carry the. You can't ride. The Triple Crown is not meant to be easy, and you need a horse that can handle any kind of track, you know, any surface.
I was at Colonial Downs earlier this week for the Racing Commission meeting, and usually these meetings are showing up, you know, a lot of people show up in coats and ties for the meeting. One guy, Tad Berman, who's a regular at the meeting, shows up wearing a Secretariat shirt, so I just couldn't resist getting a picture of him in front of the big Secretariat murals that are throughout the Colonial Grandstand. You know, are you still surprised with the legacy that Secretariat carries? And you know, what do you think about those pictures I sent you earlier this week?
Not at all. These are pictures. He has statues all over the place, and I think he deserves every accolade he can send his way because no horse ever done what he did.
Yeah, he still has a stakes record in the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, and, of course, the 31-length win in the Belmont Stakes, ridden by Ron Turcotte. Ron, we appreciate you spending some time with us today on Off to the Races. And next year it's going to be the 50th for Secretariat, and we want to get on your calendar early for that one too. So same time next year, if it's okay with you.
Nice. 50 years, half a century, unbelievable.
It really is. I think I was six when Secretariat won the Belmont Stakes. Ronnie, thanks. Go ahead.
You're welcome. No, I wasn't noticing nothing.
Oh, okay.
Thank you very much for inviting
great.
Me.
What a special treat that is. I love talking to Ron Turcotte on Belmont Stakes Day. Sometimes, yeah, we talk on the air, we talk off the air too, and it's he's just a little bit of insight and just some racing information you just don't hear anywhere else. Some great stories from Ron Turcotte here on Belmont Stakes Day. We're going to break here on Off to the Races. Still ahead, Frank Vespi will be living the dream with Graham Motion as his horse Highland Chief, 6-1. Not getting a whole lot of love in the Manhattan. I thought that horse might be a little bit higher up in the odds. Also, Derby Bill will be back, and we'll have some horse by horse, get his thoughts of the 8-horse field of the Belmont Stakes. You're listening to Off to the Races, powered by the Racing Biz.
Mark your calendars for the Grade 2 Charlestown Classic and Grade 3 Charlestown Oaks to be run once again on the same night, Friday, August 26th. This spectacular card features 7 stakes races worth over $2.4 million in purses. A special first post time is scheduled for 5 o'clock Eastern under the Friday night lights. Live racing moves back to a Thursday through Saturday schedule starting in June with first post at 7 p.m. Eastern. So be sure to join us this summer for the best racing West Virginia has to offer here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races.
The leading sire of PA-bred two-year-old winners in 2021. Peace and Justice is the hottest young sire in Pennsylvania. Recently, the PHBA announced even more incentives, making now the time to breed and race in Pennsylvania. This year, over $600,000 in purses will be offered with the first-ever Pennsylvania two-year-old stallion series. Call today and book your mare to Peace and Justice, the only son of Warfront standing in Pennsylvania. Learn more at peaceandjusticepa.com.
Champion Gunrunners, Full Brother Fortune Ticket, and the regally bred Group 1 winner Long River are just two of the exciting young stallions standing at Maryland's Anchor and Hope Farm. In his first year at stud, Fortune Ticket figures to be a hot commodity, standing for a fraction of the price of his big brother. And Long River's first runner should hit the track this year. Also at Anchor and Hope are leading regional stallions like Holy Boss, Editorial, Bourbon Courage, and Imagining. Anchor and Hope Farm, bringing the best to the Mid-Atlantic. Learn more at AnchorHopeFarm.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We roll on here on Off to the Races Radio. Frank Vespi here. We are powered by TheRacingBiz.com, the independent voice for Mid-Atlantic racing and breeding, reaching out to trainer Graham Motion right now. Graham, trained 2011 Kentucky Derby winner Animal Kingdom. Animal Kingdom then ran second in the Preakness, sixth in the Belmont Stakes. Graham also trained the 2017 Belmont runner-up. That was Irish War Cry. Also winner of 4 Breeders' Cup races. So a guy who knows from good horses, as they say, and he's got 3 horses in Grade 1 contests this afternoon at Belmont Park. So let's talk to him right now. Graham Motion, welcome to the program.
Hi, Frank. How are you?
Doing great. Thank you for taking a little bit of time out on a Saturday morning. I know you're en route to beautiful Belmont Park. Wanted to start you with this. You have run a couple of horses in the Belmont. You were second, as I just mentioned, with Irish War Cry. Since today is the Belmont, it's a 12-furlong race. It's the farthest any of these horses will have run and might be the farthest they ever do run. As a trainer, do you do anything differently with your horse to prepare them for the Belmont for this longer distance and whatnot?
Honestly, not a whole lot, because if you have run in either the Derby or the Preakness, you've already got a lot of stamina into them. So it's more about keeping them happy and moving well. So I didn't change a whole lot when I was doing it. Now, if you're coming into the Belmont kind of cold turkey off a different type of race, then I would imagine, you know, you need to put a little more stamina into them. But I didn't change a whole lot in my preparation.
All right. Moving on to today's races. You have 3 in Grade 1 races today. I just want to kind of tick through them. The first one is you got Divine Huntress early on the card facing some real tigers in the Acorn for 3-year-old fillies. And just looking at the PPs, this feels like a horse that you are higher on than maybe what she has shown in the afternoons. Is that a fair read?
I mean, I actually thought her run in the Black Eyed Susan was very good. I question if she wants to go quite the mile and eight. The race today was appealing because it's a mile. I think she's a filly that we've been trying to figure out, and this was a great opportunity to try and get a placing in a Grade 1, which would be huge for her pedigree. So yes and no. I think I thought her last race was actually very strong. I realize we're coming back a little quickly, but it was a great opportunity to try and get some grade one black type.
Yeah, for sure. You've got, I mean, you have a couple of real tigers here in Echo Zulu and Matarea, but you guys look pretty good sitting next to the other three for sure.
Yeah, I think she stacks up. I think, you know, it's unlikely we can top the top two horses, but, you know, that's why they call it horse racing, right?
No, for sure. Stranger things have happened, for sure. Including, since we got Rich Strike in the Belmont today, including Rich Strike winning the Kentucky Derby. That was a lot stranger than Divine Huntress would be in the Acorn. In the Jaipur, the 6 furlong turf race, grade one for older runners, you got True Valor. True Valor, a pretty interesting story, I think. This one came off a long layoff to win the King T. Leatherbury Stakes back in April at Laurel Park. That's no easy feat, I think, for an eight-year-old. What is it that made you and owner Larry Johnson decide to bring this guy back off a year layoff at age eight?
I mean, listen, you know Larry well. He's an eternal optimist. He loves racing. This is what he lives and breathes. So I don't think there was ever a question in his mind that we'd come back as an eight-year-old. Perhaps there was in my mind, but I got to be honest, I've been really pleased with how he's done. He doesn't act like an eight-year-old. He's a bundle of energy in the morning. He's always on the go. He's trained well. And I was really pleasantly, not surprised is probably the wrong word, but I was impressed with how he won his first start back, you know, showing that kind of speed.
Yeah, I thought that was a really positive effort. And, you know, it's always nice to win a race, but I'm curious, maybe I'll ask this as a question. I would think, you know, when you're bringing a horse back off a layoff like that, it's you're less concerned about winning and more concerned of like, how does he act? How does he run today? How does he come out of it? Is that accurate?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Larry and I decided it was a great spot to get him started. We didn't completely know what to expect, but he had obviously been training well. I guess my surprise was how sharp he was away from the gate and how he got so involved in the race early and really won pretty comfortably, obviously facing much lesser horses than the likes of what he'll face today.
Do you expect him to be away? Do you expect him to be as sharp, or do you think he'll sort of settle, you know, a couple lengths back more today?
You know, funnily enough, it's an odd race for what it is. There's not a huge amount of speed in here, so I would imagine, especially being drawn, you know, close to the inside, that he's going to be fairly handy.
Talking with trainer Graham Motion, sending up three of them in grade one stakes this afternoon at Belmont Park on the Belmont Stakes undercard. Which brings us to the to Highland Chief. What an interesting horse this is. He's in the grade one Manhattan 6-1 morning line. Huge effort at long odds to win the Man of War last time. Did that effort surprise you?
It did, although, you know, reflecting on it, I think probably shouldn't have surprised me as much as it did, just because I honestly thought his first race back was very good. You know, going a distance, it was too short for him. He, typical European horse, he didn't break particularly well, and then he got knocked about coming away from the gate, which left him an awful lot to do on what was a very speed-favoring track going a distance shorter than he wanted to go. I mean, if you look back at his European form, you know, he's a Royal Ascot winner, and it takes, as you know, it takes a good horse to win at Royal Ascot. So I think perhaps it shouldn't have been quite such a surprise, but, you know, now he's got to put it back together today and, you know, show that it wasn't a fluke, I guess.
How is he coming into this?
You know, he's been great. I will say I thought he struggled a little bit a couple of weeks ago when it was so hot all of a sudden. You know, we had so much humidity around Preakness weekend, and I thought he found that quite tough. I'm glad it's cool today, and he's had a really good 2 weeks since then. So I'm happy with him. You know, we're coming back in a month, which is a question mark off of such a big race. But, you know, I'm all in all, I'm very happy with how he's doing. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here today.
Sure. You got Trevor McCarthy, another name familiar to our listeners, and certainly a Mid-Atlantic stalwart for many years, is in the irons. And I guess I'm curious as to, do you feel like, is Trevor a particularly good fit for this horse, or are you just going with something that worked?
I mean, listen, I think Trevor's an outstanding rider. I think, you know, it was a thrill for me to have him on his first Grade One winner. I didn't realize he hadn't won a Grade One, to be honest. I hadn't really crossed my mind before he rode this horse. But look, I think Trevor's a pretty natural fit on any horse. He's one of the hardest trying jockeys out there. I don't think anyone will dispute that. And I'm glad now that he's ridden him a couple of times and he knows him, and you know, I think that's going to give me even more confidence today.
I think your point about hard trying is so apt. You know, watching races in Maryland for a number of years, the number of times you saw him on a horse, you know, going around the far turn where you said, well, that horse is done, and he stuck with it and managed to get, you know, finish 1, 2, 3 with that horse. It really was a pretty remarkable number of times that he did that.
I agree. I mean, he really does have great intuition. He really gets the horses that he rides. And I think having ridden this horse a couple of times is really going to help him. He was surprised, I will say, when I mentioned to him that I was going to run him last time in the Man of War. I had to remind him of that afterwards.
He was probably thinking you were going to come right back in a second level allowance with him, huh?
Exactly. So I did jog his memory of that after we won.
Was it the distance that convinced you to go into the Man of War?
That was a big part of it. You know, clearly that's what he wanted to do in Europe. You know, I had a feeling with the Breeders' Cup winner coming over, it was going to be a relatively short field. So, you know, kind of another reason why I thought it was a good opportunity to take a shot. And the horse was fresh. You know, he'd had the winter off. When I ran him at Aqueduct, I really ran him because he needed to get started. He'd been ready to run for a while, and I didn't want to wait another month till he got to race. So I guess, if you like, that was kind of a stepping stone for him, and I thought he ran a sneaky good race that day.
All right. I did want to ask you one last thing, and then we'll let you go. I know you got plenty of other things to do today, but been a lot of chatter about the impending July 1 deadline for people to be registered with the Horse Racing Integrity and Safety Authority, the new federal sort of oversight on medication and safety issues program. And a lot of horsemen have been concerned that they feel like they're being asked to agree to rules that they don't really understand, in some cases are not finalized, or that they are not aware of. And I guess I'm curious as to whether you share those concerns, or are you feeling kind of more sanguine about how this is going to go?
Listen, as you know, I'm a big advocate of this. I think we've waited so long for somebody to take control of our sport. And the reason we're here is because nobody has to this point. Is it going to be a learning curve? Absolutely. We're all going to, there's going to be some hiccups along the way. It's not going to be straightforward. And I think any time that you start regulating a sport like we're about to, there's going to be concerns. But I really feel it's for the betterment of the sport, and I'm really looking forward to it, understanding that there's going to be some hiccups along the way.
All right, fair enough. It's going to be interesting. It should be I would think those first months are going to really be, as you said, a learning curve is exactly the right word.
You know, the good thing is once we, you know, all we have to do by July the 1st is register. That's the first step. And then, you know, nothing is actually going into place until January 1st of next year. So there's still plenty of time to iron things out. And yes, there are concerns. There's no doubt about it. There are concerns. It's been a struggle to put things together. It's been a struggle to come up with the testing. The group are going to do the testing. But, you know, I think we need to be patient and give it a chance.
Yeah, I think that's clearly true. And Maybe in a year or two, we'll be saying, boy, this thing has worked out great. This is really good. Because as you said, racing has needed some uniformity and some oversight. So
I really hope that's the case. I hope we look back on it in a couple of years and realize what a good thing it was for the sport.
All right, Graham Motion, I will let you go. Thank you so much for joining us here on Off to the Races, and good luck with your three runners in Grade 1 Stakes today at Belmont Park.
Thank you so much.
All right, Nick Hahn, we'll kick it back to you. That was trainer Graham Motion sending out a trio of runners at Belmont Park this afternoon.
Yeah, the only one we heard Bogey give his endorsement to was True Valor in the Jiper. So a little dog bark in the background.
Bogey the dog was keeping me safe from something or other. Hey, if he likes True Valor, that could be your hunch play today.
Yeah. I wonder if Derby Bill, you know, he likes to bark out his picks, but Bogey likes to bark his too. So great there.
You get it all on live radio. You get live dog barking.
Frank, great job with Graham Motion. Good luck today. Who's your pick quickly in the Belmont?
Well, I think We the People goes to the front. He's bred to not come back, and I think he's the controlling speed. And so I think he's probably the most likely winner. A little bit of value play, maybe Creative Minister. I like his Preakness effort. I like his progression. I think he could be a factor here, and Kenny McPeak knows how to win big races. So I'll probably be looking at those two as kind of major players on my ticket. What about you?
That's the one in the five. I'm aboard with Mo Donegal, and I like Barber Road with Rich Strike and We the People maybe finish. I kind of like Creative Minister. I'm not sure about right here, but yeah, we'll see what Derby Bill has to say. Thanks, Frank. Looking forward to talking to you next week.
All right. Sounds good, Nick. Good luck today.
Great. Frank Vespi, living the dream. Graham Motion today on the feature here. As we're hunting down Derby Bill here, just a quick note from the Racing Commission meeting. Mentioned earlier that the commission did approve the upcoming sale from Peninsula Pacific Entertainment to Churchill Downs, and this will a couple of Churchill officials were there at the meeting. This basically doubles the number of HHR terminals that Churchill will manage in Kentucky and Virginia. They have 3,000 in Kentucky, a little bit shy of that in Virginia, but the approval went through pretty seamless. A couple other notes just with the meet coming up. Colonial will be compliant with what it's calling its Project 21, which raises the age of access to the HHR machines from 18 to 21. The rest of the meet goes as it is. So if you're 18, you can still bet on the simulcasting in those areas. So to be compliant with the state code, they've been working on that and took a look at the track. It looks fabulous. I mean, it just put out a video on Facebook and it just looks outstanding. Can't wait to get started with that meeting. Of Jay Sergeant Reynolds, who was on the commission for 12 years during the closure of Colonial Downs and now the reopening, Sergeant Reynolds coming off the commission, he was recognized for his service, who saw a little bit of turmoil going in and it's a little bit of resolution coming out. So want to thank Jay Sergeant Reynolds for his services on the commission through the last 12 years. We're going to bring in Derby Bill Watson, and Derby Bill Watson, he is going down gambling. A little bit of theme music, some blood, sweat, and tears has gone into handicapping. Derby Bill, welcome back to the show. Why are you going down gambling this week?
Oh, you go up and you go down. That's the life, and that's gambling. And blood, sweat, and tears is tied into the rest of America. So it's an appropriate song on the day where New York is buzzing without me. We got the Yankees in first, the Rangers playing, the Belmont today, and I'm not in New York.
I had to look at my email and just in my text and just make sure I wasn't texting myself in my sleep when I saw that. That sounds like my music versus yours. Blood, sweat, and tears. Big fan, huh?
Oh, in the day, the day of persuasive influence of alcohol, I enjoyed that. You know, 20,000 people and Grunge Fest.
I tell you what, one thing you can say about Derby Bill with a meet coming up, if as many of you remember, he was the host of The Signal for many years, and he did not take that job lightly. Derby Bill, despite the sweat and the heat, he showed up in a tie, he showed up on the big days with the jacket, and he stood in front of that camera and gave you picks and everything. So yeah, there was, it's actually more fitting, blood, sweat, and sometimes tears, when you looked at some of the results of both of our picks over the years.
No better place to be than New Camden days, when I shook about 1,000 hands a day and caught a few lift jobs from a couple of New Yorkers, but that's, you know, par for the course, and it's not work when you enjoy what you're doing every day.
Yeah, no, that it certainly was a lot of fun. Let's have some fun with the Belmont Stakes here. We'll go through 8 horses, so we think we can sort of get through this this relatively quickly, and maybe have some room on the back half of the show to handy, you know, maybe get some thoughts on the rest of the Belmont card. We the People, 2-1 in the morning line, 6-1 in the last line that I saw. Rudy Brissett is the trainer of this horse. Flavian Prott, big winner in the Peter Pan Stakes, kind of maybe following the course. Tonalist was the last horse, beat California Chrome in the last leg of the Triple Crown back in 2014 to ruin the Triple Crown bid of California Chrome. But We the People, big winner in the Peter Pan Stakes, got a lot of respect. And we even heard from Ron Turcott earlier in the show that number one post may actually help this horse just go out to the lead and stay there. What are your thoughts on We the People?
Yeah, it was good to hear Mr. Reva Ridge there, who actually is one of the horses that won the Derby and the Belmont, but not the Preakness. Reva Ridge won the Derby and Belmont, and I think he was fourth in the Preakness. But you had the expert there, Ron Turcott, on it. Now, this horse, he didn't run in the Derby, Nick. He didn't run in the Preakness. And I don't understand why he's a favorite, but, you know, the Peter Pan was on a wet, sealed track, and he smoked an unruly field by about 10 lengths is why he's the favorite. I mean, I understand the morning line maker, but when you don't want in the Derby and you don't want in the Preakness, you're not going to get top bill from Derbyville in the Belmont.
Skippy Longstocking, 20-1 down to 11-1, finished fifth in the Preakness. Doesn't really have the best of resumes here going in, but, you know, heavily raised, Safi Joseph taking a shot here. Skippy Longstocking, is there any movement in this horse's stock?
The owners must have tickets to the Rangers or the Yankees games, because this one's got no chance in this race. I mean, ran a decent wood up there in New York. It's the only reason they're probably running him here, but he'll do better in lesser races down the road, but I'm not taking today.
Todd Pletcher could join. He may create a list of fillies that have won the Belmont Stakes here. He won with Rags to Riches. He won this race with Palace Malice. He won this race with Tapperit back in 2017. He's got Nest here, 8-1 in the morning line, sunk all the way down to 7-2 here in current wagering. Sired by Curlin, which is a big check mark for me. Second in the Kentucky Oaks, we saw Secret Oath run an okay Preakness, just bad out, you know, poor out of the gate. Running last and ended up finishing fourth for Dwayne Lucas here. But what do you think of Nest chances here with the filly?
Yeah, you said it right there, sired by Curlin and by AP Indy down the road a little bit. And Todd Pletcher won the 2007 Belmont with Rags to Riches. So he's familiar with sending fillies up there. But, I mean, I don't think this one's as good as Secret Oath. So I'm going to let you guys bet that one and just leave the nest alone for me. Maybe save Ortiz for the Virginia Derby back-to-back victory party this year. And just don't think Ness is up to the par level of Secret Oath, and Secret Oath's not running in this race. So not the best three-year-old filly in the country.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Dwayne Lucas told us earlier this spring that fillies don't like to be last. So if this horse is at the end coming out of the gate, probably not much of a chance, but if up on the lead or close to it, obviously stands a much better chance. The Kentucky Derby winner is back. Rich Strike, Sonny Leone, the jockey, comes back. Has been impressive by visual accounts at Belmont Park. Great story, by the way, of Jerry Dixon on BelmontStakes.com, by the way, the groom of Rich Strike. If you get an opportunity, maybe take a read of that. But what do you think of the Derby winner's chances here?
I'm glad he's at the Belmont to draw some national interest to the race. But we'll find out if he's a, you know, flash in the pan one hit or say two hit wonder at Churchill, and see if he can win somewhere else, and see if he can the style he runs is it's just not a lot of stuff to run into like the foreign horses at the Derby here that set an outrageous pace. That's not going to happen today, so it'll be a battle for Rich Strike to get you know, to get the victory, and that's why he's the third choice. You got a Kentucky Derby winner, well rested, 5 weeks off, and he's the third choice. Go figure.
Yeah, one of the horses that actually is true in the morning line, 7-2 in the morning line, 7-2 currently. Creative Minister ran a pretty impressive Preakness, finished third. Really liked the way he handled the track. I moved that horse up in my stock, just seeing him gallop over Pimlico. But he comes back for his fifth start, 6-1 in the morning line, 8-1 currently for Ken McPeak. We heard Dave Zenner likes his horse a little bit to maybe move up. What do you think of Creative Minister here?
Well, he'd be the only one that run the true Triple Crown. Ran on Kentucky Derby Day undercard one, and then ran in the Preakness, and then he runs in the Belmont. So I'll give him kudos for running in all three. And a very dangerous horse if he's got any legs left at the end of a mile and a half, the true test of a champion. He could upset my card here, but I'm not taking him.
Okay. Mo Donegal, 5-2 in the morning line, 2-1 currently. Pletcher brings his horse in. And maybe, you know, with Nest being on the, hopefully on the front end, an opportunity to almost a run like as a coupled entry. It doesn't really happen like that as much these days. But, you know, with finishing fifth in the Kentucky Derby, same sort of calendar as Rich Strike. You know, are you going to be barking for Mo Donegal to win the Belmont Stakes today with Irad Ortiz aboard?
Really sent me to the ATM machine like 90 million other people on Kentucky Derby Day, losing to Rich Strike. But the horse, Nick, just phenomenal record in New York. He won the Wood, the Remsen, broke his maiden at Belmont Park, and just had a horrible trip in the Derby. So, you know, from the one post, which was not the detriment, but he got into traffic after leaving the one post. I just think this horse is ready to roll, and, you know, I've threatened if he doesn't win this one, he's coming to the Virginia Derby and switch to turf like Tis the Bomb is doing. Tis the Bomb is making the switch to turf too. So, you know, but no, this is my pick. I stuck him in the Derby, and I even like him more in the Belmont going further. So Uncle Mo and Derby Bill could be smiling.
I like this horse too. Golden Glider, 13-1 down from 20-1 for Mark Cassie. Second in the Peter Pan, the We the People. Do you like Golden Glider to get in there any sort of way?
Second in the Peter Pan, but he was in Yonkers, I think, you know, behind we the people. I mean, I can't get excited about this horse. The added distance might help a little bit, but just not a grade one or grade two horse to me.
And then we have the Colonial Down starter on the dirt, 5 furlongs. Didn't do well in his first start, but has been impressive, improving, I should say, impressively with John Ortiz. Finishing 6th in the Derby is Barber Road. They take the blinkers off today. I think that could be a bit of a factor. Joel Rosario, 8-1 in the morning line. I know I like that price on this horse. What do you think about Barber Road?
I remember another horse that came out of Colonial Downs that won the Belmont. I believe you might recognize the name of the horse.
Yeah, Victory Gallop, right?
Yeah, ran that Colonial Downs as a youngster, just like Barber Road. And Barber Road is improving. Ortiz has him right. He'll switch to Joel de Rosario here, which he knows New York like, you know, like he's driving a cab. I mean, Rosario is tough. This horse is will benefit from the mile and a half. I think this horse can run forever and ever. I like him in the superfectas and trifectas, and wouldn't be stunned if I saw a Victory Gallop.
There are a lot of races today with big favorites and small fields. I've suggested looking at some of the place show pools and trying to get some shots in, maybe hoping a horse like Jack Christopher falls out of the money or finishes third. But what are some of the strategies for Belmont Park today in about 30 seconds?
Yeah, they have a few pick fours and pick threes. The Manhattan has a horse called Highland Chief, so you look for some value like that, at least 6-1. Frontline in the Met Mile race 9 is like 3-5, and you know you can put them in a pick four, but you can't bet them unless you're, you know, pounding it with $1,000 bills, and I'm not going to do that. Manhattan, I said Highland Chiefs I like a little bit, and then the other favorites are Lutcher's, and you're not going to get any value of the Ogden Phillips and Jay Parr, so you're going to have to stretch it out here. The Jay Parr might be a good shot with a horse called Scuttle Buzz or 6-1. You can try to look for a 6-1 in some of these races that are not so gigantic favorites. You know, if a horse is that good, he's going to win. You can't bet against
Thanks,
him.
Derby Bill. Great. Thanks, Derby Bill. We'll recap the Belmont next week on Off to the Races. Want to thank Dave Zenner, Ron Turcotte, Graham Motion, Frank Vespi, and of course, you just heard Derby Bill. James Flowers, great job on the board. Next week, Royal Ascot. Monmouth Park has a big day, and we'll recap the Belmont Stakes. Post time for Off to the Races next Saturday, 10 o'clock.